The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I do think more and more Americans are, you know, rejecting the kind of chaos that he represents. We can't go back. We can't go back and give this very dangerous man another chance to do harm to our country and the world.
These left-wing networks aren't saying he has bad policy. Yeah. Hillary Clinton wasn't saying he had bad policy. She's saying he's a danger.
Yeah.
The implication is we won't be able to stop him through the election. We must stop him otherwise. And they are inciting every crazy or angry person in our country.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton yesterday said she doesn't understand why the media can't get on this narrative. It's a consistent narrative that Trump is a threat. This from the woman who lied and made up a story that Trump colluded with Russia back in 2016 and actually paid for a Steele dossier to come up with just embellishment and lies and actually made it go viral across the world. She has some nerve calling somebody else a threat.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton was the only one I know of who actually colluded with Russia.
Exactly.
Bizarre. Completely
exactly.
Bizarre how they've taken this and twisted.
2 days since somebody allegedly tried to kill Donald Trump again. And you're here at the podium in the White House briefing room calling him a threat.
President Biden has been clear-eyed about the threat that the former president represents to our democracy.
How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Peter, if anything from this administration, I actually completely disagree with the premise of your question, the question that you're asking. It is also incredibly dangerous in the way that you're asking it, because American people are watching. And to say that from an administration who has consistently condemned political violence, from an administration where the president called the former president and was thankful, grateful that he was okay, from an administration who has called out January 6th, called out the attack of Paul Pelosi, called out and said we need to lower the temperature after the Butler incident, and now for you to make that kind of comment in your question, because your question involved a comment and a statement, and that is also incredibly dangerous.
The Democrats are obsessed. They want to spook him. They want to keep him off the rallies. They don't want him playing golf. They don't want him out at all. They want the whole field to go to Kamala, as if they don't understand the man. This is a man who goes into the lion's den, pokes the lion, and comes out with maybe his tie shoveled, is messed up a little. But this is the guy who actually wins. And he's the only guy who could care less about this and is going to keep going forward. They won't be happy until they silence him. They won't be happy until he is off the field. This will be the end of this country if we take down a man who is going to win for president because the left doesn't like him. And everything leading up to this is predicting something terrible. But you know what? We've seen divine intervention in the past, and I totally believe that this president will be able to get through to the election, this former president, to be the next.
And I think one of the other things that we all know in this room, certainly, is that God is not finished with you, and he has big plans.
Divine intervention makes you think of the latest Trump. Well, we have a new one that's just come out, but the latest trumpet goes into why God is protecting this man, Donald Trump. He's not quite finished with him. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. We had an article just a couple months ago God isn't finished with Donald Trump. That was the day after the first assassination attempt. The first one. You can hardly believe that we even have to say that. The first one? You mean there's been more than one? July 13th. The next day, we wrote at the website, God is not yet finished with Donald Trump. Every effort by this man's critics and enemies to weaken, impede, disqualify, and now even murder him ends up not only failing, but redounding to his advantage. There's a reason Joel Hilliker wrote this, and he goes into some statements my father made in America Under Attack. Prophecies in 2 Kings 14, Amos 7. It says it was because parts of these prophecies remain unfulfilled that when Trump left Washington 3.5 years ago, Mr. Flurry said he would be back. He would be back. We said it right after they stole the election. And you'll recall my father said back in June that he won't be assassinated. And then you see the miracles happened again on Sunday. They just happened to see the barrel of the gun. He was hiding in the bushes. He had been waiting there for 12 hours, the gunman. It says further on, Trump's enemies are exasperated and fuming. They've talked for years now about the need for him to be eliminated. They keep shouting louder and still louder that success for this modern incarnation of Adolf Hitler means the death of American democracy and world peace. And you heard KJP there. She says to even ask her about the rhetoric, the dangerous rhetoric, is in itself dangerous. That's how demented their reasoning is. Peter, who are you to ask us about violent or dangerous rhetoric? We're the party of joy. We're the party of peace. I'm saying this with a straight face. Even as they're going on and on about the threat that he poses. Peter asked the question there because she brought up the dangerous threat that is Donald Trump. And that was yesterday, Tuesday. The man was nearly assassinated again on Sunday. So they can't even go for a few hours. They're not interested at all in sitting down with Donald Trump and asking, maybe just doing a personal profile. How has this been? How has this been for your family, for your wife, for your sons, your children, your grandchildren? They're not interested. They want to see him dead. I mean, Rand Paul says they're inspiring the crazies. They're behind the crazies. They're plotting. They're conspiring. They want to murder their opponent. It's going that, and I'll get to the article a little bit later. It is no coincidence that soon after both debates, this tells you all you need to know about the debates. Now, the first one with the fake president, that was more obvious because they couldn't conceal the fact that he's senile. But President Trump ran circles around him. And then, just less than 2 weeks later, he's shot in the face. He's shot in the ear. Miraculously survives. And then what was it? 5 days after the debate with Kamala? And they try to assassinate him again. He won both debates. It's simple as that. It shows you just how, and Tucker alluded to this yesterday on his speaking tour, it shows you just how obvious the propaganda is. I mean, coming out of that debate and everybody going on and on about how wonderful Kamala was. And she had no policy discussion at all. She's asked about the economy. She's asked about if people are better off. And she says, hey, I'm middle class, which in itself is a lie. She's still going on about that. Tim Walz said it yesterday as well. It's not just Kamala. They're just, hey, what are you going to do to help the economy? Well, I tell you, we're middle class. What? I mean, can you answer the question? What are the specifics? Well, I grew up middle class. play the Kamala one. I think it's what 13 or 14. It's where she talked about how she grew up around people that really liked their lawns. Listen first to the question the reporter asks her. Go ahead.
When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, yeah, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people, you know, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn, you know?
Assassination of the other guy. It's their only option. I grew up around people. He asked, what specific things are you going to do to bring down prices? Very simple. Very straightforward. I mean, Trump can answer that. And she's talking about gardening and lawns. What? Their only option at this stage. It may be that they can't. They're going to try. Of course, they're going to cheat like crazy in Philadelphia and Atlanta and Phoenix and all them. But if it's too big to rig. Conservative Treehouse, Sundance had an article about how they have to make the lie plausible. I mean, it was not even that last time around that Joe Biden, the basement candidate, was more popular by far than even the dear leader himself, Barack Hussein Obama. How many votes are they going to have to manufacture to beat Trump this time around? No wonder she's not out bragging about her policies. It's exactly like Trump said at the end of the debate last week. She's going on and on about how we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the truth is, you've been in office for 3.5 years and you haven't done anything. You haven't done anything, and you're not going to do what you say you're going to. What you say you're going to do. Were it not for God's mighty hand, Trump would already be gone. These people are so deranged that they're quite happy with triggering even a civil war if they have to, just to maintain their grip on power. What is the job Trump has yet to complete? Mr. Hilliker wrote here, Joel Hilliker. That is a question whose answer you need to prove to yourself. And you can by reading America Under Attack. What's the job left for Donald Trump? If God's not through with him, you've got Jeanine talking about divine intervention. You've got Sarah Huckabee Sanders acknowledging, here again, God's not through with you. Trump himself, he said it was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening. We're that close to the unthinkable. Two assassination attempts in a matter of just 2 months. 2 months' time. Listen to a little bit more, this exchange between Sarah Huckabee and Donald Trump from yesterday, clip 15.
I don't think there's a person certainly in this room tonight and probably anywhere in the country that doesn't remember exactly where they were on July 13th, mm-hmm, that Saturday, when a horrific thing happened, an attack not just on you, but what I see is an attack on our entire country. We know that you were tough. We saw it every day. On the campaign, we saw it when you were president, but I don't think anybody was prepared for what we saw that day. And now it's happened not once, but twice. You've literally taken a bullet for our country, and yet you keep fighting. You never give up. The reason that you're going to win in November is because America needs a fighter.
You know, only consequential presidents get shot at.
Another line that I wish I would have come up with, just like Eric's line from yesterday. The bullets, they're traveling in just one direction. And then there's his father. Only consequential presidents get shot at. They know, the communist left, they know he represents a threat to their agenda, to their fundamental transformation of the United States. He's the only one standing in the way. And so they're shooting at him. They're shooting at him. They're showing up with AK-47 style rifles. And he's just there. He's and you know, and the sheriff down in that county says, well, you know, he can't have full security detail because he's not a sitting president. They just can't give it to him. And then when that's brought up, listen to them talk about how, well, the budget and the we're just, it's so tight. These people that are spending like drunken sailors. Kamala, it's like that clip we played yesterday. Kamala doesn't have to worry about her safety. I mean, she said yesterday she was quite comfortable with the Secret Service. Well protected. I'm sure the fake president would say that. The dear leader would say that. Why is this happening with just Donald Trump? There's plenty of crazies on both sides, right? You know why it's happening. Because he's a consequential president. This is from the Federalist. It says, censorship, political prosecutions, and assassinations are common features of a third world banana republic where the term democracy is used by incumbent regimes as merely a buzzword to cloak authoritarianism. The people who say democracy nonstop, he's a threat to democracy. He's a threat to democracy. And so they're trying to kill him so that they can keep in place their authoritarian regime. I'll play a montage for you. Grabian put out another one. And good for Tom Elliott. He's not exactly an enthusiastic Trump supporter. But at least he's exposing these people, calling for violence, inciting assassination attempts, lawfare, and on it goes. Everything they fear that Donald Trump might do is what they're actually doing right now. If there's ever any wonder who won the last two presidential debates run by moderators from the state media, just look at who keeps getting shot at after them. See? Trump's right. He's a consequential president. And he keeps getting shot at. It says here, according to Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, Trump still does not have full Secret Service protection because he's out of office. The timeline of the assassination plot foiled last weekend eerily resembles the sequence of events that unfolded this summer. Trump narrowly survived a would-be assassin's bullet in Butler just 2 weeks after the CNN debate with President Joe Biden, who failed so badly at reassuring voters of his mental capacity to serve as commander-in-chief that he stepped down from the race. The whirlwind of prophetic events. It just kind of makes your head spin. The slew of indictments introduced the first stage of America's descent into a banana republic. The multiple assassination attempts that followed marked the near completion of that transformation. Fundamental transformation. This is what the dear leader wanted. As I said, Tucker Carlson was making the rounds with his speaking circuit. Listen to what he had to say when he first heard the news about the second assassination attempt that happened in West Palm Beach, clip 6.
The last time someone tried to shoot Trump, I was here in this room. And now I'm back again 2 days after. And I am shocked watching the lying in real time. Shocked. I was it 2 days ago? And all of a sudden we're getting these reports. I call in there and get all the facts. And then I thought, you know, what are they saying in the media about it? So the first thing, if you tuned in, that you learned was that he was shot by a Trump supporter, which totally makes sense. The guy loved him so much, he, you know, brought a rifle to the golf course and tried to murder him. I mean, that's kind of the way it works. It's like Putin blowing up his own natural gas pipeline. That makes sense. Totally. He's so evil, he's attacking himself. Right.
Lying in real time. Tucker sees it. He maybe doesn't get everything right. No commentator does. But he certainly sees the nonstop barrage of blatant lying. I mean, in the case of the regime media, it doesn't matter how implausible it sounds. She won the debate. It was the best ever. Maybe one of the best debate performances in history. You remember the montage. We played it for you a week ago. He turns on the news to figure out what happened, and straight away, I mean, you heard this in a clip I gave you yesterday, a member of Congress is out there saying, yeah, the shooter this time around, again, he's Republican. They can't hide it this time around, as I said on Monday, because people on social media got to the guy's Facebook page before the FBI scrubbed it. The lying in real time, that's what we're seeing every day. They're just relentless with it. Listen to clip 7.
So the guy who is now in custody for attempted murder against the Republican nominee, the former U.S. president, Donald Trump, that guy has been interviewed countless times by every big media outlet in the United States. He's got, you know, a criminal record the length of your arm, 20 charges, including possession of weapons of mass destruction. The New York Times didn't bother learn any of that before they held him up as a freedom fighter in Ukraine, where he was living. And then the piece describes the contact he's had with members of Congress and their staffs and other U.S. government agencies. And you're like, wait a second, that's the same guy who brought a rifle with a scope to a golf course in South Florida to murder Donald Trump? And he's had all these contacts with U.S. government agencies? Like, I don't know what that's about. But I think it's time to find out. No? Yes.
More commentary that you're not going to hear on Morning Joe, the meltdown. Morning Jihad, someone suggested this morning that we ought to call it now. Because it's like trying to reason with Hamas, as I said yesterday. But there's Tucker talking about all of the disturbing associations that this Roth fellow, this murderer, this assassin, has with the regime media and government agencies. He's actually had interactions with members of Congress. What? Seems like a pretty interesting story, like I said yesterday, where if you had an honest journalist serious about getting to the truth, wow, think of what they could uncover. Think of the awards that they could win with just a little bit of effort and a little bit of honesty, a little bit of curiosity. They don't want to dig there because they know what will turn up. They know. They know we'll then learn who is behind this. Another lone gunman. Notice the crook story. That one just faded away. I mean, he's the one that shot the former president in the face. Nearly killed him. The FBI, though, they were there quickly to take care of business, make sure they covered everything up. And then now we move on. And now I guess we feel so much better about the Secret Service because this time they caught the shooter ahead of time. Not 12 hours ahead of time when he's there camping in the bushes. Just a couple of minutes. Donald Trump a couple of minutes away from being murdered. I wouldn't exactly go and brag about that if I were the Secret Service. 2 minutes away? That's right. What is behind all of this? Again, Trump himself acknowledged that God saved him on July 13th. Says here, another question. This is one of our articles from July as well. Did Donald Trump receive divine protection? Here again, it refers to America under attack. It refers to the ready for war issue from the trumpet. You can subscribe free of charge, no cost, no obligation. If you want tomorrow's news today, if you want a free copy of America Under Attack, just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Look at what this man, Donald Trump, has been subjected to now for 9 years. One of our alert viewers sent me a link to this Steve Bannon episode from earlier this year. He's still in the slammer, by the way. He's still in prison. Joe Obama put him there. Joe Obama, with the help of Pelosi and Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. They love putting Trump supporters in prison. They wish they could do it for Trump. They're happy to kill Trump. This was earlier this year. Steve Bannon and Mike Davis talking about the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. Remember that? This is clip 8.
There's no question that President Biden orchestrated this raid on President Trump to go get those declassified Crossfire Hurricane presidential records that are so damning to Obama, to Biden, to Hillary, to the AG, to the FBI director, James Comey, to the CIA, to the DNI. They made up the Russian collusion hoax.
You should start impeachment proceedings just on that. They authorized deadly force. They had a medic. They had a plan to triage the wounded. They had a trauma center 18 miles away and a map. This was an attempted assassination attempt on Donald John Trump or people associated with him. They wanted a gunfight. They brought a they had use of deadly force authorized by the director of the FBI and Merrick Garland. They brought a medic, a combat medic. They had a triage plan for the injured, and they had a trauma center. What more do we need? Good God in heaven, what more? President Trump just truthed out when he walks out the courtroom. What more do we need to shut this down? What is it going to take? Sir, how can we, if we tolerate this, we're tolerating the end of this republic, sir.
They went in with the authority to shoot. To have a shootout at Mar-a-Lago. Yet another story that we just kind of brushed aside. I mean, it's in the news cycle for 3-4 hours. That's plenty, right? Happens every day, doesn't it? The FBI raiding the house of a former president and with the authority. It's a good thing that President Trump was in New Jersey that day. How about that? It shows the spirit, doesn't it? The spirit of hatred, the rage in these people's minds. Guns drawn, they had the trauma center ready. They had the medic on call. What were they thinking? What were they hoping for? What were they expecting? What were they planning? I mean, the Secret Service was there. So the FBI, I guess, a big gun battle between the FBI and the Secret Service. They want him dead. They want him dead. And God won't allow it to happen. That article from July. The Bible prophesies that Donald Trump will return to the presidency, but he will have to war to do so. A bloodied president shouting fight, fight, fight with fist held in the air is certainly a warlike image. It quotes from my father, "These prophecies are why we have consistently insisted that Trump will return to power." There's your headline at the Trumpet magazine just from a few weeks ago. And then this one, another classic cover, "Ready for War." That's from last year. You're getting tomorrow's news today from the Trumpet. The spirit of murder, it's in their hearts. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, as Jesus said. They speak what they hope for. They want him dead. Listen to this montage from Grabian, clip 1.
What would a second Donald Trump term look like? Well, he cannot be the next president. Because if he is,
you can't imagine the things that he's going to do. Mexico, Canada. We can't go to Canada because eventually Canada will become annexed to America
and shoot visitors to the White House.
Yeah, that means he can shoot the First Lady.
We're going to see violence the likes of which we didn't even see on January 6th.
Make it illegal to run against him, to throw his opponents in jail, to shut down the media.
He will make himself into the Fuhrer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
Using martial law against the American people.
Terminate the Constitution.
Rewrite the Constitution.
Create mass internment camps.
Throw everyone into Gitmo.
Might be sent to jail, or their rights might be suppressed, especially minority groups in society.
You might have any number of things happen to you and your family.
Every one of us, our freedom, our liberty, none of us is safe.
He's going to have people around him executing against an enemy's list.
Assassinate generals.
Ordering troops to attack American citizens.
Trump's very well-armed and extremist base will try to kill people.
He's going to basically burn the house down.
He will unravel the institutions of our democracy.
Draw similarities between Mussolini and Hitler.
Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini.
Makes Donald Trump even more dangerous.
He wants to take away your vote.
Senate and the House are immediately going to be paralyzed.
People will begin in their minds to censor themselves. They might say, well, maybe I shouldn't say this.
This is the end. Democracy.
I think that could be the end of our democracy.
But democracy is dead if Trump is reelected.
Close you up to Putin, that democracy will be at risk.
The absolute destruction of the Justice Department as we know it.
The Justice Department could be entirely transformed.
I am really concerned about that.
Every person who was associated with the attempted coup elevated in the administration.
He's reelected. He will curb transgender rights.
The end of the rule of law.
Arrest political opponents.
To persecute, not prosecute. But persecute his enemies.
Take a wrecking ball to the rule of law.
He's going to make the law. Everyone else will have to follow.
A vote for Donald Trump may mean the last election that you ever get to vote in.
Every one of these people have lost their minds. And you know what, too? All of them are, right now, they're saying, you know what? Haitians are coming under threat. There's bomb scares. Kamala said yesterday, The Haitians are who we should worry about because they don't have Secret Service. What? It's dangerous for the Haitians? You know why? Because Trump said they were eating cats. That's all he had to say. And it incites all of this violence, all of this danger, all of these threats. But everything they said right there, that's perfectly normal. That doesn't incite anyone at all to talk about Trump and everything they're describing. Did you notice? It's what they are engaged in. It's what they are doing, even to the point of assassinating a former president of the United States, terminating the Constitution. Go right down the line. The dear leader, he's heading up the regime. He's the authoritarian in charge, and he is not going to be stopped. He is certainly not going to be stopped by the Constitution. Only God is putting an end to this, and it's only going to be temporary. He wants us to have one more opportunity to turn to him in repentance and faith, as I said earlier this week. They're saying the quiet part out loud, and really, when they're pointing the finger at Trump, there's three others of their fingers pointing right back at them. They're guilty. They're guilty. And KJP says, look, if you even criticize, if you even ask them about that rhetoric that you just heard right there, then you're dangerous. You're a dangerous threat. Why would you say all those things? How could you dare question me? That's dangerous. In the City Journal, Heather McDonald, Trump made them do it. I mean, to the extent that they say, well, yeah, a crazy was incited to take a violent act or commit an act of violence or murder, but it's Trump's fault. It says here, the New York Times devotedly follows a cardinal rule of liberalism. Never blame the victim, at least for officially designated victims of American racism and classism. slavery, for example, not higher rates of criminal offending is responsible for blacks' unequal involvement in the criminal justice system. If unwed mothers are poor, the reason lies in heartless welfare rules, not in the decision to have a child out of wedlock. You can't blame the victim here. No, no. But when it comes to Donald Trump, victim blaming is proper. Oh, yes, it's his fault. He made them do it. She quotes the New York Times journalist, quote unquote, Peter Baker, saying that Trump's responsible for the assassination attempts against him. It quotes Baker, "At the heart of today's eruption of political violence is Mr. Trump, a figure who seems to inspire people to make threats or take actions, both for him and against him." Trump inspired these shooters. You heard it from Tucker, right? He turns on the news, and the first thing we learn is that, well, these are good Republicans. They love Trump so much that they want to kill him, I guess. How preposterous is this? I mean, they're not even trying to make the lie plausible. Sundance may have to rethink his piece. The article he wrote, "At the heart of today's eruption of political violence is Donald Trump, a figure who seems to inspire people to make threats or take actions both for him and against him." Wow, that's no wonder they fear him so much. No wonder he needs to be eliminated. I mean, this man has power. I mean, his words incite. His words move the crazies to act. None of those words you heard in that montage there do anything. I mean, that's just good old rhetoric. That's good political campaigning. To say that if this guy gets into office, the whole of democracy dies. If this guy gets into office, he's going to shoot his wife. He is going to shoot the generals. He's going to put his opponents in jail. Baker recycles the fiction that MAGA supporters, inflamed by Trump's fulminations regarding Haitian pedicide, made bomb threats at Springfield. In fact, as Ohio, I played that for you yesterday. They're all hoaxes. They're all hoaxes. There was a report of a bomb threat in, I think it's in New York, wherever Trump's going to be tonight. And evidently there's no truth to it. But watch the regime media go right to work to debunk that story, even as they keep telling you that there's 33 bomb threats in Springfield. Even after it's been debunked, I heard one just last night. It doesn't matter what the rhino governor says in Ohio. They've looked into it. They're all hoaxes. They're all being phoned in, by the way, from abroad. Look at how easy it is to manipulate these propagandists. Make a phone call from Iran or Russia or wherever. CCP's probably putting in a couple of phone calls too. "Yeah, there's a bomb. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill the Haitians." And the regime, they run with it. The morning jihad, they run with it. They run with the propaganda. Relentless Democratic rhetoric about Trump's dictatorial intentions and the evils perpetrated by Supreme Court justices, among other alleged conservative opponents of democracy, has no apparent bearing on the death threats and attempts against Trump, conservative justices, and Republican politicians. I mean, they shot up the field. Steve Scalise nearly died. He got hit by a bullet too. He took a bullet from one of the Bernie bros. Yeah, radical left winger, yet again. Donald Trump's taking a bullet. And then they scrubbed Crooks' history. Now he's taking another bullet, but be assured it was a Republican who shot the bullet, or was about to. It says here, the elite press's inability to escape its ideological bubble and to apply neutral standards of analysis could not be more acute. That inability is as responsible for today's political hatreds as anything Trump has ever said. They read it in Peter Baker's article, and then they get on TV, and they just echo the same propaganda. Listen to another New York Times journalist. This is clip 4.
I mean, just the fact that right now you have a former president who, yes, has been the target of apparent assassinations twice, but is also an instigator of political violence.
Oh, okay, yeah. He was a target. But he's also the instigator. So, how do we deal with this? Well, let's just try to eliminate him. That solves everything. In their minds, they think this. If we can just put him to death, then the scourge will finally be ended. The cancer will be removed. It's not like he's the only target. McDonald brings that out. They've threatened the lives of Supreme Court justices. And it's hard not to see why when you read what the propagandists have to say about them. Here at The Guardian, there's a danger that the U.S. Supreme Court, not voters, picks the next president. We need Sam to do another dramatic reading of this trash. That's what it is. It's frighteningly easy to imagine Kamala Harris wins Georgia, the state election board, under the sway of its now Trump-aligned commissioners, grinds the certification process to a slow halt to investigate unfounded fraud allegations, spurring the state's Republican legislature to select its own slate of electors. That's what the article is about. They go through all of these possibilities. It's Jim Comey-esque. Well, I mean, it didn't happen, but it could have. It's possible. Remember that? It's possible. It's possible that Trump could be Hitler. You know the best evidence you have that Grabian montage is nothing but just pure propaganda. The fact that Donald Trump has already been in office for 4 years. He didn't do any of that. He didn't even go after Hillary. All the chants, lock her up. He didn't do it. He has a 4-year track record. And here's Liz Cheney. If you vote for Trump, that may be the end of it. He left peacefully on January 20th, 2021, even after he knew it was stolen, it was rigged. He knew. He still knows. And they know. And yet he walks out of the White House. And he flies back to Florida. And he's been there for 3.5 years, or New Jersey, or wherever he is, but still, they're guilty of what they're charging, what they're saying. It says here, perhaps long lines in Philadelphia lead to the state Supreme Court holding polls open until everyone has a chance to vote. Before anyone knows the results, Republicans appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court using the independent state legislature theory, insisting that the state court overstepped its bounds and that the late votes not be counted. That, you see, this is just what Republicans do. They intervene and they prevent counting. They're voter suppressors. This is The Guardian from the UK. Or maybe an election evening fire at a vote counting center in Milwaukee disrupts ballot, and well, on and on it goes. There's dozens of scenarios where Trump's in-game not only pushes a contested election into the courts, but ensures that it ends up before one court in particular, a U.S. Supreme Court packed with conservative supermajority that includes 3 lawyers who cut their teeth working on Bush versus Gore, one whose wife colluded with Stop the Steal activists to overturn the 2020 results, and another whose spouse flew the insurrection flag outside their home. See, they're dangerous. These justices, these conservative justices, they are dangerous. They need to be eliminated. Notice the reference to Bush v. Gore. these election deniers. That's what they are. They do it all the time when they lose. And boy, are they sensitive to Trump's people saying the same thing. Because they know. Lower courts may brush aside this mayhem as they did after the 2020 election. But if the election comes down to just one or two states with a photo finish, a Bush v. Gore redux in which the court chooses the winner feels very much in play. Newsflash to The Guardian, Bush won Florida. Bush won. It was a narrow margin for sure. The court just put a stop to the endless counting over and over and over and over again. Bush won. And here's The Guardian saying, you know, if we don't do something here, the court might decide who wins, just like they did in 2000. You see how it works? They still have not accepted the results of 2000 or 2016, either of those. Hillary was, I mean, she said the election was stolen from her. Listen to her as she references that and then takes pleasure in the fact that Donald Trump was convicted, especially after they chanted, lock her up. This is clip three.
I got tears in my eyes then because this man has escaped accountability his entire life. The case, which was mistakenly called a hush money case, was an election interference case. Why did he do what he did? He did it to try to keep the information from the American public so that they wouldn't turn away from him and vote for me. So it's a pretty clear case of election interference.
And when you heard that he had been convicted, there had to be, you're human, there had to be a side of you after enduring months of hearing lock her up, thinking,
right,
this is the person who's actually facing time in jail.
Looks like karma to me.
It looks like karma to me. Yeah, he deserves it. And then the reporter smiling and nodding along. You see how to play the game, boy. If you lose, the hush money case was election interference. Now in 2020, you could put cardboard over windows. You could kick out the Republican poll watchers. You could dump ballots, thousands of them, into the counting centers in the middle of the night. You can keep the counting going for 5 days. You can do all those things. But if you sign a non-disclosure agreement with some crazy woman that won't keep her mouth shut, you're obviously interfering in the election. That's all that they need, these people, to say that Trump cheated. And then there she is gloating. The spirit of hatred, the spirit of murder fills their hearts. I've got quite a few scriptures on that. I just haven't had time to get to them. The spirit of lying also fills their hearts. And you see it. You see what their true agenda is when they speak from that heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Matthew 12:34. Sundance says this is about making the lie as plausible as possible. He says there will be attempts to interject ballot fraud into the 2024 election, specifically from key regions which have increasingly been accepted as labeled the Clyburn Network, the cheating network. It says for the activist leadership on the Obama-Clyburn side of the system, the issue of plausibility is a serious point of discussion. We've got to make it seem like it's legit. It can't be too big to rig. They're worried it's going to be too big to rig, which is why assassination is now the final stop. They need the election outcome to remain close in the psyche of the American electorate. Only if the election is proclaimed to be close, and only if the larger American electorate will accept that foundation, can those who are injecting fraudulent ballots continue to operate with success. He says discussion of factual realities that contrast that close election narrative generate high velocity interest. He mentions the CBS story from yesterday. We played the clip. You know, the fact that this reporter was going from one restaurant to the next in Nevada, and she couldn't find any Trump, she couldn't find the Harris supporters. She thought they'd be all over the place. It's becoming increasingly implausible when the regime, I played those clips for you yesterday, all of the dreadful polling. It says here, on the positive side of this election, it appears the DNC leftists are worried the scale of ballots needed will exceed their plausible ability. Sundance says, in 2020, the ballot harvesters and scanners pushed the envelope, pun intended, of fraud. It was intellectually impossible to believe Joe Biden carried more support amid Democrat-minded voters than Barack Obama. Yet that was exactly what they needed to push in order to emotionally create the 2020 illusion of plausibility. See, Satan lies. He's done it from the very beginning, and he makes it seem so plausible. He makes it seem so right. He's an angel of light. You can go back to Genesis 3 and see the way the devil operates, to see how effectively he uses lies and deceit. He's the prince of the power of the air. And he's just bombarding the airwaves with his spirit of lying and cheating and stealing and murder. He's the father of all that. That's John 8 and verse 44. It says here, in 2024, they would need to go even further for Kamala Harris. Is that possible? Well, that's the $64,000 question. We're going to have to buckle up for a wild ride. I've been saying that this summer. Look at what's happened already. Look at what just keeps happening. It seems almost every other day. There's another prophetic jolt. I mean, in one sense, as I said in class this morning, you see God's hand, you see his divine intervention. And if you're thinking right, I mean, it's a faith builder. You think, okay, if God is intervening in the affairs of men, what can he do for my life individually? How much more involved can he be in my life? How many more miracles can he perform in my mind, in my life? God wants to dwell with us. Jesus said that in John 14. I mentioned that earlier this week. He wants to be involved. He wants to convert our minds, our thinking, our lives to actual God beings. Jesus said in John 14, 2 and 3, if I go, I'm going to come back. And when I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What does that mean? I'm going to prepare an office, a position, a responsibility for you. It just kind of blows you away when you think of just how much love and service and sacrifice and sharing and giving that there is coming from the God family. Always. Now, he's a God of judgment as well. I went through that in 2 Thessalonians today, chapter 1. He is a God of judgment. He is going to administer some severe correction in the form of the Great Tribulation before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, to just get people to come off of their high and mighty horse, to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. What a different time it will be when the kingdom of God is established and set up and Jesus Christ is ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And everyone on earth will be living the more excellent way of God's love. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you again tomorrow.